We're going to learn Daf Yud Ches in Masechtas Ksubas. We're going to start from the top line, the end of the top, the first line on Daf Yud Ches. So the Gemara over here is working off a Mishnah. The Mishnah brought Rabbi Yeshua was Maida in a case of Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter, which means that if I tell you the whole story, if I'm the one who got myself into trouble, I can get myself out of trouble if I give you the full story. So the example that the Mishnah gave was an example, and this is what we talked about last time, was an example where I come over to you and I say, your father used to own that property, and I bought it from him, but I'm telling you that even though I'm admitting that this is the Pesha Asar, I'm admitting that it used to belong to you or your father, and you would have yarshened it. But now I'm telling you the end of the story. The other side of the story is now I bought it and now I own it. So since I'm introducing that information to you and I'm telling you the whole story, we're going to believe you. Versus, as the Mishnah itself says, versus if you already knew, you had evidence, you had Aiden that field used to belong to you, now a guy can't just walk over to you randomly and say, oh, and by the way, I bought it. Then he's not Neman, he's not believed until he brings Aiden. So that's the case of the Mishnah. So we're going to go through some other suggestions that the Gemara says, if that's the point that you're trying to make, that there's a concept of Pesha also Pesha Hitter, that there's a concept that I can introduce all the information and therefore I become totally believed, why does the Mishnah have to use those examples? I can give you some other examples. So now we're going to start from the top. The Gemara's first attempt is, well, this is actually, yeah, the second attempt, actually. The Lisni, Moide Rabbi Yeshua Ba'omer L'chaveri Mono L'visi Mimcha Uperativ L'cha. So let's talk about a case, and this is the advantage over here, especially the way Rashi learns, is that I don't have to talk about I don't have to involve your father, that this used to belong to your father, right? I can talk about something directly with you, that I borrowed $100 from you, and I paid you back. So now, again, it's the same idea. Because I'm admitting a guilt, I'm admitting the fact that I owe $100, and now I'm finishing the story, though, and I'm saying, but don't worry, I don't owe you anymore, because I paid you back. And the halacha is shehu ne'eman. I'm going to be ne'eman, because, again, I'm telling you the whole story. So why doesn't the Mishnah use that example? And it's a better example, because we're talking about directly with you. So some Rishonim learned that it's a din, we'd rather talk about metaltum versus karka. Some Rishonim would say we'd rather talk about you versus your father. Okay, for whatever reason, but the Gemara suggesting that this is a better case, and why doesn't the Mishnah list the case? The Gemara answers very simply, because it doesn't fit into the entire Shakla V'Taya of the Mishnah. Because remember, in the Seifa case, we're trying to give an example where Edom already knew about this, and if I already knew about it, then I can't rely on your story, or I don't rely on your story, because I already knew about it independently. And the end of the Mishnah, in this case, by the borrowing $100, would have said, Im yesh edim shehu lova mimenu, because if there are already edim that say that I know that you borrowed me the money, you borrowed the money from me, I'm not relying on you to tell me that you borrowed money. V'hu oimer paratev, and now the guy's coming along and say, well, I already paid, so I don't owe you. The Mishnah would have had to say einoi neman, because that's the whole point, that one case you're believed and one case you're not believed. But the problem is, we already hold Edim. Even if I lent you the money originally with Edim, I don't need Edim when I pay you back. Which means I could always say, yes, you're right, you got me, I owe you $100, but I already paid you back, and I don't need to have any proof to that, because I don't have to go running after Edim every time. That's what we hold the Maskana. I don't need to find Edim every time I want to pay you back. If I pay you back, I pay you back, and I'm going to be believed to say I paid you back. If so, that doesn't fit into what the Mishnah is trying to compare and contrast. The Mishnah is trying to say a case, if you tell the whole story, you're believed. If you tell half a story, you're not believed. But in this case, that's not true. Even if I only tell half the story, you already knew I borrowed the money. And all I'm contributing here is that I paid you back. I'm also believed. So it doesn't fit into what the story that the Mishnah is trying to tell. Now, just so that you know, as we go weiter into the Gemara, because we're going to use this expression, the way Rashi learns, and the expression that the Gemara uses, the concept, based on the Gemara we learned on Yud Zayin, that there's a concept called Shor Shochut Lefanecha. Shor Shochut Lefanecha means that I come to the situation and I already see that the animal is shechted. So in other words, I already see independently, without you telling me what happened, I see it. I see what's going on. Versus Ein Shor Shochut Lefanecha, there's nothing here, there's no evidence over here whatsoever, and you're supplying the evidence, you're telling me what happened, so that's why you're going to be more Neman. So again, the same thing over here. Again, we're going to use that expression now as we go into the next lines of the Gemara. But over here also would have been, if I come and I tell you I borrowed the money, so then there's Ein Shar Shachar Lefanecha. There's no evidence here whatsoever. I was providing the information that I borrowed. But when I come and say I have Edim that you already borrowed the money, that's called Shar Shachar Lefanecha. We already know you owe the money. So that would be how those, that expression, that phrase fits into the example that the Gemara was giving. But as I said, it doesn't work in our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah we would need a contrast case where you're not believed, and halachically over here, if I come and I say I paid you back, even without Edim, I'm going to be believed. So there is no case that you're not believed. So the Gemara says, let's try a different case. So continuing, the Gemara says, V'lisni moide Rabbi Yeshua bo'imer l'chaveir mona la'avicha biyadi. Let's say, again, until now, the first case was that I borrowed money from you. Now the guy is coming and saying, actually, I borrowed money from your father, v'achaltiv pras, and I ate some of that. What that means is, again, obviously not literally translated, what that means is I paid back half, or I paid back a portion of it. The halacha is shehu neman. So we want to say that that's also a case where we should say, pesha also pesha hiter, since you had no idea that I borrowed money from your father. How would you know that? And now I'm the one who's telling you that I borrowed the money, and I'm telling, so since I'm the one who told you that I'm borrowing the money, I can also be the one to tell you how much I paid back, what my ledger is, what I owe, what I don't owe. Now, the interesting thing about this case, and what the chiddush of this case as we continue to go through, you'll see, is that there is a concept in general that a moide b'miksas. Moide b'miksas, it means that I admit, I know that the full amount is $100, but I only admit to owing you a portion of that amount. So a guy comes over and says, you owe me 100, and you say, no, I only owe you 50. So we're not going to get into all the nitty gritty cases. There are a whole sugya that deals with this. In Shavuos, there's a whole sugya in Baba Kama, probably. Baba Basra, sorry, you're right, Baba Basra. That we talk about a moide b'miksas, that you're chayav shvuah. So normally when a guy admits to owing half the amount that he's asked for, there's a moide b'miksas, and then it requires a shvuah mida araisa. So the Gemara over here, so just know that that's the basics. The basics are moide b'miksas, is chayav shvuah mida araisa. But over here, what the Gemara wants to suggest is that even though this is not even though they're normally moide b'miksas is chayev, but since I'm the pesha osur pesha hitter, since I'm the one who is telling you that I owed you the money in the first place, I could have kept quiet. In other words, the expression that we use was ein shar shachut lefanecha. There's nothing here. I'm supplying the information. I should not have to swear. I should be neman to say how much I owe you. I owe you 50 out of the 100. But the Gemara says that doesn't work. I'll tell you why. Now remember, the case over here was that I said I borrowed the money from your father, not from you. So the Gemara says it doesn't work. Aliba deman, because which shita are you going to follow? This is actually already discussed in the machlekes exactly what's going on. Aliba de rabbanon, according to the rabbanon, ha amri meishav avedu havi. They say, in that case, when I come along and I tell you that I borrowed money in the first place, that goes into the category of hashavas avedu. Now, there's a concept of hashavas avedu that the rabbanon were masakin. Hashavas avedu simply means I find something for you and I give you something that you lost and you wouldn't otherwise have if not for me. So the halacha is, and the Rabbanu were Masakin, that when I return an Aveda, I never have to swear. Because let's say I come back and I say, here, I found your three chickens that you were missing. And the guy says, what do you mean? I'm missing four chickens. You must have stolen one of my chickens. Swear that you didn't steal one of my chickens. So the halacha is Hashavas Aveda, and that's the Rabbanu's Takana. I don't have to swear. No, I'm returning your three chickens. Be happy with your three. I don't have to swear. So that's cool. So what the Rabbanu over here are applying that concept. They say it's a Hashavas Aveda over here, because you wouldn't have known that I borrowed money from your father in the first place. You would know nothing. So I'm a nice guy, and I'm telling you that I borrowed the money. So you have to be happy with whatever I give you. I'm Hashavas Aveda. You would have gotten nothing. And now the fact that I'm willing to give you 50 out of the 100, that's Hashavas Aveda. You can't make me swear. Now it comes out that the relevant to our Gemara is that according to the Rabbanan, you never swear under any circumstance, because it's always Hashavas Aveda, regardless of whether I knew, whether I didn't know. It's Hashavas Aveda case, and Hashavas Aveda case, you don't have to pay at all. Now therefore it doesn't work according to the Rabbanan. Rabbi Loza ben Yaakov argues, and he says that this is not a Hashavas Aveda case. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Amar Shvua Boy. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says in those cases, under those circumstances, when I borrowed money and I'm admitting to half of it, it's called a Moedah B'Mikzus, and we already know Midaraisi Yechayev to swear. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you're always Chayev to swear. So therefore, and now the Gemara is going to expand on this, but before we learn, go weiter in the Gemara, just to explain how this fits in. So it comes out that this case that Rabbi Yeshua, remember, Rabbi Yeshua's case in our Mishnah has to be a case that sometimes you're believed and sometimes you're not believed. Here, it comes out that it's never a sometimes. According to the Rabbanon, you're always believed. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you're never believed. There's never a sometimes. There's never, well, this case yes and this case no. So therefore, as we'll see, Lemaskana, that's why this case doesn't work, doesn't fit into our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah is looking for an example where sometimes you believe and sometimes you don't believe. Which is the case that the Mishnah does provide. Where it says that I bought this field from your father. Where if I'm providing the story, then I'm believed. If I'm not providing the story, I'm not believed. Okay, now, so let's learn the Vayter and the Gemara to show how the Rabbanon hold you're always believed, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds you're never believed. The Tanya, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you're always chayav a shvua, right? Because this is, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, this is a classic case of Mikzus. It would be the Reis of the Rabbanon. Okay. I don't know. Once you hold that it's a Moedah B'Mikzus case, it's going to be a Daraisa. L'chayra.
Why isn't
the Gemara continues to Tanya. How do we know? Where do we see this machlekes, this basic machlekes between the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim? The Tanya we learned in a Braisa. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Pa'omim Sha'odam Nishba Al Tainos Atzmai. Sometimes a person, even based on what he says on his own, makes him obligated to swear. Ketzad, and what's the example? This is our example. Monola avicha biyodi. A guy comes and says, oh, by the way, I owe your father $100. V'achalti pras, and I already paid him back a portion of that money. Hare ze nishba. You're going to swear, because even that case is considered a moedah b'mikzus. V'zehu shenishba al tainos atzmai. So that's a very interesting line, as the Gemara itself is going to talk about. And this is the case that you become chayev to swear, even though you created the case. You created it. Ein shar shochel lefanecha. The guy is not being toivea you. He's not asking for the money. And you are going to be chayev because of something that you yourself said. Okay, that's the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Shita that always says that even moedah b'mikzus, you're going to be chayev to pay. The Chachamim Oimrim and the Chachamim say, Einoi ela kamesha v'aveda upotter. That since this is Hashavas Aveda, what do you mean? This guy is telling you what happened over here. Without him, you would know nothing. It's Ein Shar Shachut Lefanecha. There's nothing here. There's no evidence that you can have to push him. And therefore, it's Kamesha Aveda. He is giving you back something that you would not have otherwise had. So therefore, you're going to be putter. We're not going to require that you swear to do the guy a favor and return money. Okay, so therefore, but the point is, as we already said, and we'll repeat, that it comes out that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you're always chayev to swear. According to the Rabbanon, you're never chayev to swear. So that doesn't fit into the mantra that Rabbi Yeshua is trying to say, where sometimes you're chayev and sometimes you're not. It's either, because right now it's either all yes or all no. Okay, now, but the Gemara, this explanation is a little bit too high level, it doesn't work. Because the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Leslei Meshav Avei De Potter. Do you think Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov argues on the concept? This concept is a Din D'Rabbanan. Yeah. There's a concept Din D'Rabbanan that Rabbanan say that by Hashavas Avei you're not chayev to swear. So why would Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say in this case that you're not chayev to swear, that you're chayev to swear? That goes against, that flies in the face of the Takanat D'Rabbanan that says you're not chayev to swear? So Amar Rav, so Rav has to say the Akimta over here, in that case, in other words, in the Braisa, the Machlokes in the Braisa, Amar Rav, Betainai Koton. The case over here was, we're Enachanami. Till now we've been assuming the case was that nobody's asking for anything. He says, no, that's not the case. The case over here is that a Koton is actually, this kid, who's a Koton, is asking for the money. And that's why you're not really, in other words, really Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds, if I am the one who introduces the story, I'm totally Potter. Because it's Hashavas Aveda. But over here it's a little bit different because the Koton is actually bringing me to Bezdin and asking me to pay. And that's why it's not a pesha asur over here, because the kid is asking me for money. So the Gemara says I have a technical problem with that. V'amar mar, but we learned einishban al tanis chayr shod v'kotim. If you're talking about that the little kid is asking me for money, the halacha is in general, if a little kid asks you for money, right, a little 6-year-old kid comes over to you and says, give me my money. We don't even pay attention to that. You don't have to swear, it's nothing. So over here also, if you want to say the case over here is that a katan is asking you for money, you don't have to pay attention to this kid at all. You don't have to swear. So once again, that cannot be pshat in Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that says you have to swear. You never swear when a katan asks you for money. So the Gemara says, no. What do I mean? My katan gadol. What we're really talking about is that he's really a gadol. He's over bar mitzvah, and therefore when he asks you for money, you do have to pay attention to him. You do have to respond. The amaykar le katan. So, but then, okay, then why do we call him a katan? To the gabe milida aviv katan hu. So the Gemara says the case is that we're talking about that he's really a gadol, but he's a katan in his father's affairs. He has no idea what his father's business is. He doesn't know what it is. So therefore, we call that halachically, we call that a katan. And therefore, in terms of whether I have to respond and I have to swear, the answer is yes, I have to respond because he's a gadol. He does have the right to bring me to Bezdin, and Bezdin will take him seriously. On the other hand, in terms of whether he knows what's going on or doesn't know what's going on, the answer is no. He's a katan in that sense that he doesn't know what's going on, and therefore. But that, so then it comes out that the explanation of the brisa is the case is that it's not a case of ein shar shachut lefanecha, because the gadol is actually being teveya you. The gadol is asking you for money, so you're not the one that's introducing. So the Gemara says, one second, but that doesn't work. Ihachi tainus atzmai. Remember, when we were reading the brisa, I said this is the case of tainus atzmai. So I said, why is the brisa said tainus atzmai that he's introducing the case on his own? Tainus acherim he. What do you mean? Now you're telling me you're changing the whole case. You're telling me that this is a case where the gadol / katan is asking you for the money. So that has nothing to do that. So what is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov referring to this as tainus atzmai, that I am introducing this? That's not true. That's not the case. So the Gemara says, yeah, I'll tell you it is the case, because it's tainus acherim voidos atzmai. You're right. It is the gadol that's bringing you to Bezdin, but you're the one that's admitting to what's really going on, because the gadol doesn't really know fully what's 100% what's going on. You're the one that's telling him, oh yeah, you're right, I did borrow money from your father, but I paid him back some. You know, you're giving him the story. The kid doesn't really know the story, and you're telling him the story. So that's why you're right, even though it's his taina, but it's hoidos atzmai. So that's what we mean taina atzmai, that it's because of your own words that you're going to have to swear. So Gemara says, one second, kula taina. Kula tainosa, every time somebody brings you to Bezdin, is tainas atzmai v'doas atzmai ninu. Every single time somebody brings you to Bezdin and asks for payment, so, of course, if you want to pay, pay. But if you want to deny it and not have to pay, it's always because he's asking for money and you're saying, no, I don't owe you I don't owe it to you, I owe you 50%. So it's always tainas atzmai if you're going to look at the fact that I'm telling you what happened. So therefore, this is no different than every other case of Maida B'Mitzvahs. So, and even so, there is still this concept of Hashavas Aveda. So it comes out right now, the way the cheshbon of the Gemara is, that really, you can't say that this is a special, unique case. If you're now saying that this case is a case where the Gadol is being Teiveya, and it's Hayadoas Atzmai because it's a Maida B'Mitzvahs. No, one second. If the Gadol is being Teiveya, this is not a Hashavas Aveda case. Nobody would say this is a Hashavas Aveda case. This is a regular case where the guy is being Teiveya you, and you're answering Moedah B'Mikzos. You're going to be Chayiv. And if you want to say the case is, so you want to back off that and say, no, so nobody's being Teiveya you, Ein Shar Shachol Lefanecha, nobody's being Teiveya you, then you're agreeing and acknowledging that even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees there's a concept of Hashavas Aveda, and you're also Potter. So once again, Mamon of Shach, we don't have a case where Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying this halacha that it's because it's not a Hashavas Aveda because you have to say the case is it's not a Hashavas Aveda because the Gadol is being Teiveya you. So if so, what's the machloikas between, in this case, where the guy comes over to you and says that, the guy comes over to you on his own. We have to explain a case where the guy comes over to you on his own that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that it is not a Hashavas Aveda. So that's what, so we're left back with an we have to start over again. Elo, so the Gemara says, Elo, we're talking about where you're really, where it's Tainos or Koton. Where it's really a Koton that's being Tevea you. And even so, Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov is gonna say, it's not HaShavas Aveda. Cause remember, a Tainos Koton is nothing. A Tainos Koton is nothing. And even so, Rabbi Lozer are gonna say that or the other way around, even if it's a Tainos Gadol, the Rabbanon are still going to call this Hashavas Aveda. Why? So now we need to, right, it comes out two things. That according to Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov, because remember, we have to explain why this doesn't work according to Rabbi Yeshua. According to Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov, you always have to swear, and according to the Rabbanon, you never have to swear. So what's the basis of this in this case, where you're claiming that you borrowed money from the father? Why does Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov always say you have to swear, and it's not a Hashavas Aveda? And according to the Rabbanon, it's always a Hashavas Aveda, even if a Gadol is asking for the money, it's still a Hashavas Aveda. So now finally the Gemara is going to explain. But the Gemara is going to explain this based on the logic or the explanation, almost time into Krah, why is it so that every Moedah B'Mikzos is chayav to swear? Elo, Hacha B'Derabba Kamifli. Really, the Machlokes Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov and the Rabbanon is based on the explanation that Rabbah gives. To Omar Rabbah, because Rabbah tells like this. Okay, so we need to understand why every Moedah B'Mikzos is chayav to swear under normal circumstances. Again, a normal circumstance is, I ask you for $100 and you admit that you owe me something, but you only admit to part. To part, but not all. So why is that chayav shvua? Mifnei ma amru teira moedah B'Mikzos hatani yishova. Why is it that a person, when he's moedah to partially, he is chayav to swear? So the Gemara says like this: Chazaka ein odom meis panov b'fnei bal chayve. This is a very important insight. A person, when they borrow money from somebody and they did them a favor of lending them money, the borrower never, again, I shouldn't say never, but there's a chazaka, at least most times, and therefore we rely on this, that most times the borrower would not have the chutzpah to deny it at all. He can't deny it. Listen, you did me a favor. You lent me the money. I know I owe you the money. I would never have the chutzpah to say I didn't borrow the money. So therefore, but the problem is, I don't want to pay. V'hai b'kulu boi de l'kafre. So really, I don't want to pay. So I should really say, I don't owe you anything. V'hai d'loi kafrele. And the reason why I'm not denying it in its entirety is mishum de'ein odom me'ez panav hu. Because we already established that a person doesn't have the chutzpah to deny it in its entirety. He doesn't have the chutzpah to deny it in its entirety. So he's never going to say, you didn't do me a favor. It's not true. You did me a favor, I'm not going to deny it. Now, on the top of Yud Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara says, U'bukulu boi deloi delei. So really, based on that, so if I don't have the chutzpah, so really I should right away be required to admit to the whole thing. V'hai deloi oi delei. So now, the reason is that I'm not being moida, ki hecha delishtamet lei, because I want to try to get away with payment now. The savar, and I think ad dahave le zuze uperanale. Until I have money, that's when I'm going to pay. So the story is like this: the Gemara is again giving the general rule over here, and then we have to explain what the Torah wants. So the general thing is like this: I can't deny that I borrowed the money because you did me a favor. So I have to admit to something. On the other hand, I don't want to admit to everything, so I really want to, but the problem is I can't pay. I don't have the money to pay, or I don't want to pay. For whatever reason, I don't want to pay. So I say to myself, what I'll do is, I'll admit to the amount, because I have to admit to something, so I'll admit to the amount that I want to pay. Even though, in reality, I know in the recesses of my mind, I know that I owe you more than that. But I don't want to pay that amount now. I want to pay 50. I don't want to pay 100. So I really want to. So that's why I created this situation where Moedah B'Mikzos. V'rachmana Omar. And the Torah says, Romi Shvua Alei. Let's make him swear. If you want to say that you only owe 50 and not 100, I'm going to make you swear. Ki hechi deloi delei bekuloi. So now I'm going to have to admit to the whole thing. Because I don't want to swear. Now, of course, if it is true, Of course, if the reality is that I did really pay him 50 and I only owe 50, of course I'll be willing to swear, because that's the truth. I didn't deny anything. I admitted that I borrowed the money, but I know that I paid you half. I should be able to swear. The reason why we force the shvua, and if you don't swear, you chayev to pay, because we think the guy is trying to play monkey business. He's trying to say, I'm only willing to pay 50. Not that I really owe you 50. I owe you 100, but I'm only willing to pay 50. So we say, you know what? If you're willing to pay 50, swear. Swear that what the real story is. And again, if you're not willing to swear, then you have to pay the 100. If you are willing to swear, then obviously that's the truth. Okay, now, until now, this is all Rabba talking. And the crux of this logic, of this explanation to why Moed B'Miksas is Chayev HaShvua, the crux starts with the fact that a borrower does not have the chutzpah to deny that he borrowed the money. So there always has to be an admission that I borrowed the money. Okay, but that's talking about, Rabba's talking about in a regular case where the borrower is facing his lender, and he's talking face to face, he doesn't have the chutzpah to say, I didn't borrow the money, because the guy did him a favor. Now the question is, in our case, when we're talking about where the son is saying, you borrowed money from my father. So the question is, does that chazaka, does that logic that the borrower doesn't have a chutzpah apply to the son? And that's going to make all the difference here. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov savar loishna boy loishna bebenoy enemeis. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that no, if I borrowed money, whether I borrowed from the father and the son now is a continuation of his father, so then I don't have a chutzpah to lie to the father, to the son either. And if I'm not if the son is exactly the same as the father, then the son has the same dinim of Moed B'Miksas, and I'm Chayev HaShvua, because just like if I admitted Moed B'Miksas to the father, I'd be Chayev HaShvua. So the son is the same exact thing, and I'm Chayev HaShvua. It's a regular Moed B'Miksas. It has nothing to do with the Shavas HaVeda. The Hilkoch, as the Gemara says, Lav Meshav HaVeda Havi. So in other words, really, it's not HaShavas HaVeda. Really, according to Rebbe Avada, in a real HaShavas HaVeda case, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov agrees. But this is not HaShavas HaVeda case, because you have no choice. You have to admit, because you can't deny that you borrowed the money, because you would never have the chutzpah, even to the son, to deny it. So you have to admit. Once you have to admit, so now it's not HaShavas HaVeda, now you have to do what you got to do. And now it becomes a regular Moed B'Miksas. It's a regular Moed B'Miksas, you have to swear. The Rabbanon Savri, but the Rabbanon hold, boy, who the ain't amazed. When I'm talking to the lender itself, that I never have the chutzpah. To the father, I would never deny it. Avo benoi, maze. But to the son, I'll deny it. I don't owe him anything. But the fact that I'm a nice guy and I'm not denying it, meshav aveda have. So now this is considered a hashavas aveda, because to the son, I could have gotten away with it. I don't have any qualms about lying to the son. I don't owe you anything. You know, you didn't do me any favors. Your father was a nice guy. That has nothing to do with you. And therefore, I could have gotten away. And the fact that I'm now deciding out of my own goodwill, I'm willing to pay you money, that's hashavas aveda. Once it's HaShavas HaVeda, you can't make me swear. Okay, so that is now the machlokes between, it really boils down to whether the son is the same as the father. Everybody agrees to the lender, you would never lie, you would never deny the loan. So the question is the son the lender or not? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds the son is the lender, so I can't deny it. If I can't deny it, this is a regular Moed B'Miksas case. And therefore, I have to swear. According to the Rabbanan, it says, no, to the son I'm willing to deny it. If I'm willing to deny, so then this is HaShavas HaVeda case, because I didn't have to admit anything. I'm willing to admit, so I'm at HaShavas HaVeda. In any event, again, the big picture over here is the Gemara started with a question, why can't this be the case of our Mishnah? The answer is because it doesn't work out, because according to the Rabbanan, I'm always potter. I never have to swear. So it doesn't matter whether I knew about it or I didn't know about it, I'm always going to be putter. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, I'm always chayiv to swear. So that doesn't work out, because the way our Mishnah is designed, is set up, that Rabbi Yeshua is looking for a case where if he tells me the story, he's putter, and if I know the story, then he's chayiv. And this case doesn't work, because according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you're always chayiv to swear. According to Rabbanan, you're never chayiv to swear. So that's why it doesn't fit into our Mishnah. New Mishnah. But this Mishnah is a continuation of the concept that we already started with, which is the concept of Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter. So we already had Rabbi Yeshua introduce the concept that if I'm the one who tells you the whole story, I'm believed. So now the Mishnah is going to tell us some other very interesting examples. Ha'edim Sha'amru K'sav Yadenu Huzeh. So they say, oh, yeah, this is a shtar. It's true. I did sign on this shtar. The shtar, let's say, for argument's sake, a simple example. The shtar says, Reuven owes Shimon $100. Simple shtar. They say, yes, this is our signature, and therefore it's it should be a valid contract. However, Avala Nusim Hayinu, we were forced to sign. So it's not really a true shtar. It's a fake shtar. We were forced. Or Katanim Hayinu. Or we were underage when we signed this, so it's not valid. Psulei Edus Hayinu. Or we were not Kusher Edim. So Rashi gives two examples. Either because we were related at the time, or because we're Masachek Bekuvya, which means that they're gamblers and gamblers are not Kusher Edim. In any event, so again, we're telling the full story. I'm admitting it's my signature, but I'm giving an explanation to the execution. Therefore, Hare Elu Ne'amonim. They're going to be believed because they provided the whole story. However, Ve'im Yesh Edim Shuksav Yodom. But if we already knew that this is their signature, because there are Edim that say that. Or we have another contract which has the exact same signature, and we already proved in Bezdin that that other contract is a valid signature, and now all we need to do is just compare the signatures, then Eino Ne'amon Ne'amonim, then they're not going to be believed. So again, this is another story where we have the contrast, that if they're telling us the whole story, yes, this is my signature, but it's not valid, then we believe them. But if we already know it's their signature, and now they want to just add an explanation of why they think we shouldn't look at their signature and we shouldn't take it seriously, then it's too late, we don't believe them anymore. Of course, they could always prove it with their own Edim and so on, but meanwhile, just simply their statement that, no, we didn't really want to sign, that doesn't prove anything. Okay, so that's the Pesha Asa Pesha Yeter case. That's the Mishnah. So, Zok the Gemara. So even when they say, yeah, we were forced, what does that mean, we were forced? We were forced to say that they forced us to sign it because otherwise he would threaten us with charging us whatever. We were going to have to pay him money or whatever it is. Avo. Anusim ayinu machmas nefoshois. But if they come to Bezdin, even where we know it's their signature, and they say, the guy held a gun to our head to sign, hare elu ne'amonim, then they're going to be believed, even if we didn't need them in the first place to prove it's their signature. A person can always say, I was forced. Stop being forced because I felt uncomfortable. That's not a good explanation. But if I say I was forced because we actually lied, but we had no choice. We had to lie. You know, we were behind the Iron Curtain, and you know they were going to send us to Siberia if we didn't sign this contract. So it's everybody. Then it's really not a true contract. And now we have a good explanation. We're going to believe them. That's what the Gemara says. Amalei Rava Kol Kaminei. What do you mean? Even in that case where he says that they had a gun to my head and I was forced to sign, Kivin Shehigat Shuvah Nechayzeru Magid. The halacha is that Haggadah is based on Dabar Dover, is a Dibur. But the Torah says that once you gave Eidos, you can't go back. It says Im Lo Yagid. That the pasuk is Im Lo Yagid. That once I said Eidos, I can't go back and say, I'd like to modify my Eidos. It doesn't work that way. So, therefore, over here also, once we have their signature, they're going back and they're trying to modify their signature, their Eidos about their signature. We're not going to believe them. We just don't believe them. And therefore, even if they say they were forced, they're not going to be believed. But the Gemara then continues and says, "V'chi te mahani mili al peh." When do we say that once I said Eidos, I can't retract when I'm talking, when I'm testifying? Avol b'shtar loy. But when it's written in a shtar, that's not considered final testimony, and I could go back and repeat and repeal what I said. That's not true. V'amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish taught us, "Eidim achasumim." Once you sign on a star, it's as if we already testified and have been validated and inspected by the court. So signing on a star, you have to realize what that means. Signing on a star means I am testifying as if I'm standing in court about everything it says in here. And I'm testifying that that's That's true. So now that's a Haggadah. Well, there is no difference. The point is that there is no difference between a written testimony and a verbal testimony. So the question is like this. So now it doesn't make a difference if I come back and say I was forced. It's too bad. You already gave your testimony and now you're trying to retract your testimony. We don't believe you. So the Gemara says, you're right. You're right. It's the other way around. The Chiddush is the Reisha. In the Reisha case where we said that you are believed, so Itmar, but we learned it like this. Hare elu ne'emonim. So since I'm the one who's telling the story, I'm believed to say that I was forced. So Zak the Gemara, Amirami bar Chama, Loishanu elishamaran usumayinu machmas nefashas. When am I believed to retract and give that explanation that yes, it's my signature, but no, it's not valid? That's only talking about when my no, it's not valid, is because I was forced with my life. But when I say yes, it's my signature, but the guy forced me to, it's not really true because the guy blackmailed me, and he blackmailed me for $100 that if I don't sign, he's going to take away my money. Then I don't believe you. That's too bad. You don't have a right to sign on stories because you're trying to save a few dollars. You don't have a right to do that, and therefore your story is not believed. My taimo, and the Gemara itself gives the explanation. My taimo ein odom mesim atzmai rasha, because a person is not going to consider himself a rasha, because basically what you're saying is that you lied, you perjured yourself. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. You perjured yourself. You lied. You're admitting to me that you gave edus that was not true. And therefore, a person cannot perjure themselves. And since you can't perjure yourself, you're not going to be believed. So this is a very big chiddush. So even in the Mishnah where it says that you're believed, that's only talking about if my explanation is a valid explanation. I was forced with a gun, so therefore I could say it was never a valid testimony. But if I'm coming to Bezin and saying it was a valid testimony, but I don't like it because the guy blackmailed me, that you're not going to be believed. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan. Ein emonim lepoisloi divrei Reb Meir. Okay, so it says. This is talking about the beginning of the Mishnah. So, when you say that we were anusim, they are not believed to say that they're not believed to make themselves possible. When they say we were forced, you're not going to possel yourself. You're not going to be believed to possel the shtar. But Divrei Reb Meir, that's where Reb Meir. The Chachamim say you're Neman. So it comes out that this is like sort of a, this is really a machlokes on our Mishnah. The Reb Meir says you're not believed, and the Chachamim say you are believed. In other words, you do say Pesha, also Pesha Hitter. So the Gemara says like this. So, in other words, don't get confused by the fact that our Mishnah has one Shita. The Gemara is now bringing that there are really, it's a machlokes in this Mishnah, or this Braisa. So Bishlam l'Rabbanon. The Rabbanon say they're believed, Kitamayu, as we explained, Shapesha also Hua Pesha Hitter. Because I'm giving you the full story. I am telling you, yes, I signed, and I'm also telling you, but it's not a valid signature. I gave you the whole explanation. El Reb Meir, my time, but why would Reb Meir say that they're not believed? Why does Reb Meir say, too bad, even though once I said this is my signature, I'm no longer believed to explain why it's not a valid signature. So Bishlam Psule Eidos. So I understand when they say that I am not a kosher aid. So mal v'gufa me'ikara medak dayek umechtam. So I understand, because what's their explanation? The explanation was, I am not a kosher aid. I was a gambler. So over there, when you come and say, my signature's on the shtar, but I'm not a kosher aid, we don't believe you, because the person who asked you to sign would never have asked you to sign on the shtar unless he knew you were kosher. So when you're coming up and saying, I wasn't kosher, we don't believe you. Because you never would have ended up on the shtar if you weren't kosher. And also, ketanim nami, and when they say, oh yeah, we were underage, kedir Reish Lakish, we also don't believe you to say that you were underage, kedir Reish Lakish, don't Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish says, now I'm on the top of Yutessa Medalev, chazoka eina edim choismin al hashtar, elim kain nasa begodol. Also, a person would never ask an underage child to sign on a shtar. So by the fact that you're signed on the shtar, that in and of itself is testimony that you were a gadol. So now I understand where Reb Meir is coming from, and he says, I don't believe you when you say I was really underage. I don't believe you. Okay, because the fact that you're already on the shtar is proof that you're a gadol. Ela anusim, my taimo. But when the guy says he forced me, why would Reb Meir hold that that's not a good explanation? That could happen to anybody. You can force me to sign on a shtar. So when they come with the explanation that you forced me, why don't we believe them? So we're just gonna read this one line and then we'll stop. Amar Rav Chisda, Kusava Rav Meir, Eidim Sha'amar Lahem Chasumu Sheker Va'alta Roigu. When a guy comes and says, sign on this false star or else I'll kill you, Yaharoigu, you should choose death, Va'al Yichasmu Sheker. But don't sign falsely. Okay? So this is a very, very, very drastic statement, and the Gemara, we're going to continue next time and explain where we really say this. But the statement at the moment is that if you're faced with a choice of signing a false statement, a false shtar, or literally getting killed, a person, according to this line in the Gemara, a person has to choose death over signing falsely. And therefore, if you signed, that means you obviously were not forced with this dilemma. Because if you were forced with this dilemma of death or sign, you would have chosen death. So the fact that you didn't choose death means that you weren't really forced to make that choice. And it must be that you weren't forced, and therefore it's a valid signature. That's what Reb Meir holds. And therefore that is the explanation to Reb Meir. It says, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Because if you signed on this shtar, that means everything was perfect. You obviously were kosher, because I never would have let you sign if you weren't kosher. You obviously weren't a katon, because I wouldn't have let you sign if you weren't katon. And you obviously weren't forced, because if you were forced, you would be dead. So by the fact that you're alive, it's a raya that you aren't forced. Okay, that's the explanation to Reb Meir. Of course, this needs a lot of explanation, but we're going to stop over here, because this is already the next sugya, and we'll Mirtz Hashem pick up the next time.